We now come to the last part of our worship experience this morning, listening to God's word together as the people of one family, right in the middle of the season of Lent, which has traditionally been understood as a time of reflection, spiritual introspection, repentance, spiritual renewal, and preparation. A time when we examine our hearts and motives as well as intents of the heart in an attempt to recognize and weed out anything within us that may be making us weak, or something that may be hindering us from becoming devoted followers of Jesus, as our mission statement states. Our scripture reading this morning is especially appropriate for the Lenten season. It is a story about temptation, about a desire to give in to instant gratification at the expense of our faith, our convictions, and our core values. What I want to share with you this morning is how Jesus helps and strengthens us when facing temptation, temptation to sin, or temptation to quit. So if you have a copy of God's word, please come with me to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, we're going to read chapter number 4. And we will read verses 14 to 16. And once you find it, it's a good tradition that we have practiced for some time now to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Verse 14, the Bible says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize or empathize with us or with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Let's pray together. God, our Father in heaven, we stop to refocus our attention and our senses upon the presence of the Almighty God. Even as we delve into the Word of God, I just pray that you may open our spiritual understanding, that we may comprehend what the Holy Spirit is saying to us this morning. Please give us the courage to apply that to our lives. May we live it out to the glory of your great name. May we be changed from glory to glory and from one level of grace to the other. May you be glorified in our midst, because we ask it in the mighty, marvelous, and worthy name of Jesus. And somebody in the house said amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Our message this morning is entitled, "Facing Temptation to Quit." Facing temptation to quit. In our fallen world, we all face many kinds of temptations, especially the temptation to love the world more than we love our God, which the Bible calls idolatry. Scripture warns us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 16, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. But you and I know that apart from temptations coming from the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, I'm sure we have all been tempted to quit, especially when going through the valley of suffering and weeping, when going through storms of life and wilderness experiences. We've all been tempted to give up. We've all been tempted to give in, or even to quit in the face of discouragement, frustration, discontentment, impatience, and countless other ways that entice us to abandon our faith. We also get tempted to quit on our relationships, church life, jobs, and life in general. We come to a point in life where we say, you know what? I tried. I gave it my best. It didn't work. So, guess what? I quit. And usually, it feels so good to quit in the face of challenges. It feels so good to quit against those who are antagonizing you and making your life difficult. I remember when I was working in the corporate world, a fellow employee was so mad with the boss that he took off his company t-shirt and threw it on the ground while he yelled on top of his lungs, "I quit!" And he dashed out, drove off in anger. I'm sure he felt so good to quit in a dramatic way while customers, vendors, and onlookers were looking. But it only lasts for a moment until you come back to your senses. Remember the prodigal son? He was having fun. And when he was working in a place with pigs, in pigsty, the Bible says he came back to his senses. When you come back to your senses, that's when regret floods your mind. I wish. I hope that whatever you're going through right now, you will at least come to a point where you come back to your senses and do something about your situation, like a prodigal son who said, I want to go back to my father and ask him if I could be one of his hired servants. And of course, you know how the story ended. Now, I hope we all remember that no matter how dire our situation, the grace of God is always sufficient for us. Even if you're at the end of your rope, God's grace is sufficient for you. We don't have to give in. We don't have to give up and quit. Even though quitting might seem to be the easiest course of action given your circumstances. But before we delve into the sermon, let's define temptation so we are all on the same page. What is temptation? Temptation is defined as an enticement to act in disobedience to God's will. While temptation is not a sin, by giving in to it, we consent to meeting our needs our way, as opposed to trusting God to make a way where seems to be no way. It is further defined as a strong desire for a wrongful pleasure that offers a temporary escape from an agonizing emotion. In other words, it is an enticement to sin by the promise of pleasure, relief, gratification, or personal gain. It persuades man to do evil through deception. Temptation becomes a test of your loyalty, integrity, virtue, and faithfulness to your God and to who you profess to be. Job in the Old Testament, who suffered even though he was a righteous man, is a very good example for us. He proved himself faithful before God, and God blessed him. Now, the Greek word for temptation is the same as testing. What determines the meaning is context. So Job was going through trials, but he was also going through a test at the same time. The devil uses temptation to lure us away from God's will. But God can and does use what was meant for evil by Satan to test, strengthen, and build our faith and character. What the devil meant for evil, God intends for good. The question is, how do we overcome the temptation to quit? How do we overcome the temptation to quit? Let me give you a little bit of context here. Our text answers this question as it was written to second generation Jewish believers who were being tempted to give in to pressure and give up their faith and go back to ceremonial law of the temple sacrifices. They were constantly under pressure from society, family, peers, and elders to return to Judaism. They called them the people of the way. They shunned them from the synagogue. They told them, you can't come to the synagogue anymore. Family gave them up. They were not even allowed to go to the marketplace and sell anything. They were sanctioned for being contrary to the Jewish expectation of Judaism. Now, the writer of our text sets out to motivate and encourage these Jewish believers to persevere, to endure hardships that were coming from the synagogue, the elders, and the people they loved from their own families and church community. The writer of Hebrews was encouraging them to press on toward the high calling in God. Facing trials and temptations with a confidence that is anchored in Christ, the solid rock, sure and steadfast. The author of Hebrews gives us and them two things we must do to overcome that temptation to quit. Here's the first one. We must hold firmly to the faith we profess. We must hold firmly to the faith we profess. Look at verse 14 of our text. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Also, look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. It says in the ESV, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And that's the key there. He who promised, who is God, will be faithful to us, no matter what temptation we are facing. God is faithful. He will never leave us nor forsake us, but will be with us to the close of the age. Nowadays, many people are abandoning their faith, especially during our current global health crisis. They are disgruntled, miserable, and simply quitting and walking away from the faith. Scripture predicts a great falling away from the faith in the last days. And since it has been happening before now, and it is still happening today, as many believers are rejecting God and choosing no faith at all, they are being called, in sociology, religious nuns. If you've heard about that statement, religious nuns. They don't believe in any kind of religion. They don't believe God exists. They don't even believe we have the power and ability to know God. They are agnostic and atheists. Don't get me wrong, these people used to be believers. They used to know God and tasted the goodness of the Lord. But they chose to walk away. Our text is reminding us that we have a great high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses. You're not alone when you're facing temptation to quit. You are not alone. God is with you. Christ experienced a full range of temptation through his life, or throughout his life, just like us. Yet he did not sin. That's a very good example to us. Because when you are tempted, you are not sinning. But once you give in to temptation, it becomes sin before God. And Jesus overcame every temptation. He serves as a very good example for us to stand against temptation in the name of Christ. Why? Because Christ is able to empathize with us, to give us courage, to give us comfort as we face temptation to quit. We're not doing this on our own. Jesus is standing with us. I hope we will emulate Christ and trust God, holding fast to our faith and hope, even when under enormous pressure from society to quit. Which brings us to our second point. We must draw near to God's throne of grace in order for us to overcome temptation. Look at verse 16 of our text. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. James chapter 4 verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And then Hebrews chapter 10 verse 22 to 25 affirms, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unwaveringly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. I don't know where you are right now, going through the challenges of this world. I encourage you to hold on to your faith, but also hold on to your hope in Christ Jesus. And now look at verse 24 of Hebrews chapter 10. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day of our redemption approaching. We can draw near to God and persevere in faith through prayer, fellowship with other believers, encouragement from other believers, and holding on to faith and hope. The hope that we profess in Christ, not because of where we stand or who we are, but because of God's faithfulness. God is faithful. Since we're living in dire times, we need to encourage one another, being believers. We need to pray for one another. Because life will become very difficult for Christians and for believers, with the world becoming more hostile to our faith each and every day. The wicked will seem to be prospering in their wickedness. And as Christianity becomes unpopular, society will begin to mock your faith and persecute believers. It will be easy to quit because Christianity will become unfashionable. It will be the easiest thing for you to do, to just lay down your faith and walk away. And nobody will point fingers at you because everybody will think that's the right thing to do. They'll be happy with you. They will applaud you for doing that. But I hope you will hold steady. I hope you will not give up. I hope you will live for God, even when it is not popular to do so. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 12 says, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you ever have a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away believers from the living God." Make sure you don't have that kind of heart. Now, to those of you who think that because we are born again and spirit-filled, we cannot quit, think again. Even Jesus and the apostles were tempted. So what makes you think you are exempt from temptation? Even Peter and all the disciples, they said, "We are ready to die for you, Jesus." And when they were tested, when they were tempted, they ran away and left him alone. They vowed their lives to follow Jesus and die with him. But when Jesus needed them the most, they were nowhere to be found. They scampered in diverse directions to take cover for fear of losing their lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13 says, "These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man." Don't think yourself too highly than you ought to think. You need to draw nigh to God. Hold on to your hope and to your faith and never give up. And then Paul concludes, "And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." There is always a way out of the situation. In fact, when you are weak, then you are strong, because the grace of God is shown to us when we are weak. In fact, when we are weak, we are at our strongest, because God comes to our aid. Now, as we begin to close, David Jeremiah tells this story. Imagine writing your first book at the age of 22 and watching it land on a bestsellers list everywhere. A few years ago, that happened to an American pastor. His book conveyed the biblical advice about love and relationships, and it encouraged thousands of young people to make better choices. This pastor became known for his speaking and writing and counseling, as well as his ministry of preaching for nearly two decades of pastoral ministry in a local church. Yet somehow and somewhere during those years, his own relationship with God evaporated. In 2019, he announced his marriage had come to an end. Then, in a follow-up post on Instagram, he disclosed an even deeper divorce from faith. He wrote, quote, "I have undergone a massive shift in regarding to my faith in Jesus." The popular phrase for this is called deconstruction. And the biblical phrase is falling away from the faith. "By all the measures that I have for defending a Christian," he wrote, "I am not a Christian. Many people tell me that there is a different way to participate in faith, and I want to remain open to this, but I am not there yet." Sadly, throughout history, there has been many who have believed, practiced, and preached the faith that we profess, only to abandon it and walk away. Many of whom become agnostic and atheist. I hope that we will not be named among those falling away from the faith. And finally, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 in the Amplified Bible urges us to show great strength and endurance when tempted to quit. Verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, always doing your best and doing more than is needed, being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." And Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 would encourage us, "Do not be weary of well doing, brothers and sisters. For in due season you shall reap." And here it comes: "if you faint not." Would you please rise to your feet and let's pray. I hope the Holy Spirit spoke a word or two to your soul. But the question is, what are you going to do about what the Holy Spirit said to you? Father God in heaven, we thank you for your word that has come to encourage us to not quit on that which you are doing in our lives.
to hold on fast to our faith, our hope in Christ Jesus, but also to draw nigh to God, resisting the enemy and submitting ourselves to God in everything that we do. Help us not to depend on our own ingenuity, wisdom, experience, and power, but help us to depend on the faithfulness of our God, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above and beyond that which we may ask or even think about. As Philippians 1:6 says, he who began a good work in us will be faithful to bring it to accomplishment. May that be true for each one of us, even as we face temptation to quit. Help us to look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the suffering on the cross. Help us to look up to him so he may strengthen our faith and to comfort us during our times of trial and temptation. I pray that none of these, Lord, that listen to this message today will be lost to the world, but they will hold on to their faith until Jesus comes. We thank you for the blessing that you have promised for those who are going to endure to the end. And may that be true for us. As we part company now, we pray that your grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit go before us. We love you because we ask in your name, Jesus. And somebody in the house said amen.